Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. The plan is to take a break from our series in Job for a few weeks and focus on Christ and his birth, and particularly the announcement of his birth and how God made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. As you turn to Luke chapter 2, I remind you that we believe the Bible is the word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the word of our God will stand forever. Reading from the ESV translation, we'll begin reading in verse 8 down through verse 14 of Luke chapter 2. Hear the word of the Lord. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let us pray. Father, we come to you in prayer this morning with hearts of anticipation, longing for things to be made right, and looking for answers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, point us to Christ, fill our hearts with Christ, draw us to yourself through Christ, and we pray this in his name and to his glory. Amen. You're familiar with the well-known passage in Philippians 2 that Jesus made himself nothing. Jesus made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. He was born in a small backwater town, Bethlehem, was known to virtually no one, the town that is, and neither was his birth. When God came into the world, really no one knew about it. The residents of the small town of Bethlehem did not know. The officials of Rome did not know. The inhabitants of Jerusalem did not know. The only people that knew to begin with were his parents. You cannot imagine an event that was any more removed from the center stage of earthly history. And yet that's how our Lord came into the world. The manner was astounding, but also it was astounding how it was announced from that point forward. And that's what we read about in Luke chapter 2. How it was that the world would come to know that God had come to earth in the flesh. And I want to make just a few points in Luke chapter 2 this morning about the astounding nature of the delivery of the news of the birth of Jesus. And one thing we notice right off the bat in our passage is in verse 9. Here Jesus had been born, and we read in verse 9 that an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Here are these shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, and suddenly, without warning, an angel burst into the scene with all of his blazing glory and makes an announcement to them. You can imagine the light shining around. We often read in the scriptures that God does not have a physical body. And so often when he appears to his people in the scriptures, it is in the form of a blazing light. The spiritual presence of God, the invisible spirit of God, comes in this incomprehensible, brilliant, powerful, pure light. This is the case with Moses. This is the case with Ezekiel and others. And their reaction is typical. Imagine yourself a shepherd in the middle of a cold night, just watching lowly old sheep. And this brilliant, pure light bursts into your presence. And the reaction is typical. Read at the end of verse 9, they were filled with fear. It's just astounding. And we see other people react the same way in the scriptures when God reveals himself in a similar sort of way. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah pronounced a curse on himself. Woe unto me. He thought he was going to die. This light appeared to him. He thought he was going to die immediately. It was so great. It was so astounding. It was so brilliant. It was so pure. And then we see the same thing in Ezekiel chapter 1 when Ezekiel has this just incomprehensible vision of God's glory and he just falls on his face, overcome with fear. Gabriel came to Zechariah and he was fearful. Christ showed his glory to Peter and James and John in the form of this glorious light and they fell on their faces in terror. God showed his glory to Moses and he had to hide his face. And it was just an overwhelming experience, just an astounding experience. We read in Revelation 1:17 that John saw the glory of the ascended Christ and he says, I fell down as if I were dead. Maybe fainted. He just lost himself, undone. That's the picture, the astounding picture over and over again. And we see it here to these shepherds of God revealing his glory and giving just a glimpse, just a glimpse to unsuspecting fallen humanity. And the shepherds are fearful. It's just astounding. It's just astounding. But let me tell you something from our text that's even more astounding than this. Look at verse 10. Even more astounding than this brilliant presentation to these shepherds. Verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not. See, the shepherds feared. But more astounding than that, the angel says to the shepherds, do not be afraid. And that's astounding because so many times in the scriptures we read sinners should be afraid. Sinners should be fearful in the presence of a holy God. If God is holy and his wrath is against sin, then sinners should be afraid. But the angel says to these shepherds, sinners, fear not. And the obvious implication there is that their sins were to be forgiven. Fear ye sinners, but fear not ye sinners who are forgiven. This is a message of good news. Behold, the angel says, I bring you good news of a great joy. See, the news was that the Savior was here. The Savior had come at last. We've been waiting. We've been anticipating that God was going to deliver his people from the curse of sin and deliver his people from the curse of death and deliver his people from the curse of hell. This is the narrative of the scriptures. That God is going to fix all the things that are wrong in this fallen world. And here comes this angel saying, the good news is that a merciful God has made himself known in the flesh. A Savior has come. He has been born in Bethlehem. He's going to live a perfect life. He's going to die on the cross, and he's going to forgive forever the sins of all who believe. He's going to pave the way of eternal life for sinners like you. Fear not. This is good news. This is good news. He is Christ. He is the Lord. Verse 11, unto you this day is in the city of David a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. Christ, the anointed one. He's the anointed prophet. He's the anointed priest. He's the anointed king. He's the one that the whole Old Testament has been pointing to and anticipating and promising, holding out in anticipation that he's coming. And here he is. Isaiah foretold him. Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." And the angel says, "He's here. Don't be afraid. This is good news. This is good news that God has reached out into the continuum of space and time and history. And he's provided hope where there was no hope. He's provided life where there was death. He's provided forgiveness where there was wrath. He's provided eternal life where there was condemnation." That ought to produce great joy. I bring you good news of a great joy. You can't receive the gospel of Jesus Christ without rejoicing greatly. It's the greatest news ever proclaimed. It's the most precious promise. It's astounding. Astounding. And here are these shepherds. They go from sheer terror to the highest joy as repentant sinners. And the angel's there to proclaim it to them. Let me show you something even more astounding. Something even more astounding. It says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." That's the good news. God is here. He's here to save. In verse 13, "And suddenly," look at this, verse 13. "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" As if this whole scene is not incredible enough, we read, "Suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host join with the angel of the Lord." Can you imagine that? It's one thing to have the angel of the Lord appear to you. It's one thing to have this brilliant, powerful, pure, incomprehensible light burst into the midnight air and proclaim good news, but then to be joined with a host, with a myriad of angels, thousands of angels burst into the sky. And they're singing and they're praising, "Glory to God in the highest." We don't know how many. John says in Revelation 5 that he saw 10,000 times 10,000 and thousand of thousands. That means millions. Millions of angels filling the sky. A choir. And they're singing, "Glory to God in the highest." And the audience is some lowly shepherds and God in heaven. They understood that humanity had fallen into sin. They've watched this. Angels have been around since the beginning, since the creation. They've seen this whole saga play out. They saw Adam in the garden. They saw the curse. They saw the wilderness struggles. They saw the prophets, the kings. And now he was here. God had come to earth in humility. He took on the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men for undeserving sinners. And he was going to die on a cross to bear the curse of their sins. They knew this. And millions were praising God to see it. Glory to God in the highest. Peace. Look at verse 14. "On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. We like to speak a lot about peace at Christmas time. The worst Christmas song of all time is John Lennon singing about peace. He's not just talking about the absence of wars here. These angels are speaking of peace that comes when a God who is hostile towards sinners, when a God who is hostile towards sinners, and there's nothing that you or I can do to make peace, interposes himself in Jesus Christ the Lord and brings eternal life and forgiveness. That's the peace that they're proclaiming here. That's the peace that they're singing about here. That's the peace that delighted this vast number of angels, was that God was coming to reconcile himself to sinners and bring peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's good news. But there's one thing that I think is the most astounding about this passage. The most astounding thing about this passage is this incomprehensible production. The glory of God, the millions of angels, the singing, the proclamation of the news. Notice where this does not happen. Notice where this does not happen. It's not for people of prestige. It's not for people of influence. It's not for the Roman emperor. It's not set on the center stage, the capital of the world. It's not in Jerusalem. It's not in the temple. The good news comes first to the poor, to the lowly, to the meek, to the outcast. What was a shepherd? A nobody. A nobody. A shepherd was a nobody. He was low down. It was mean work. He was small. He was unlikely. He was inconsequential. He was a nobody. I love the quote of Luther. Luther said, "Who would have thought that men whose job was standing with unreasoning animals would be so praised that not a pope or a bishop is worthy to hand them a cup of water?" Nobodies. The good news first came to a bunch of nobodies. And at the end of the day, apart from Christ, we're all just a bunch of nobodies. Who am I that the Lord in eternity past said, "I'm going to save that one. I'm going to send my son and I'm going to save him"? This is all a picture of God's sovereignty and salvation, his grace, his mercy, his love to the unbelieving sinner. I don't know why God found these shepherds. I don't know why God came to these shepherds first. I don't know why God came to me. I don't know why God came here this morning to you. He picked these shepherds. They didn't deserve it. But he put this message before them. He announced this message to them, and he announces this message to you. The Bible doesn't explain why. He comes and he says, "Christ the Savior has been born." Why should he tell us that? Why should he tell you that this morning? Why should he tell you that if it's the first time you've heard it or if it's the thousandth time you've heard it? Why should you hear that news this morning, that good news that Christ the Savior has come, he has been born to save sinners with whom God is pleased? Bible doesn't explain why. It doesn't argue the point. It just says God chooses to do that. God chooses to proclaim the message to you through his word this morning. And when he does that, we simply offer a hymn of praise. That's the proper response. Just a simple hymn of praise. That's the angel's response. You can hear this message and you can be offended by it. You can mock it. You can reject it. You can put it off. You can rationalize it. Or you can offer praise and say, glory to God in the highest. Praise of his glorious grace. Praise for him sending his son, and embrace it. Look at verse 10. It says, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. It's for the humblest. It's for the lowliest. It's for the most despised. It's even for the worst of sinners. The Son of God came that night as a Savior to sinners. And anyone who believes by faith and embraces his work on the cross will have eternal life. It's astounding. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the glorious news that was announced that night to those so undeserving. And Father, we thank you for the glorious news that is proclaimed this morning to those who are so undeserving. To you be the glory in the highest. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.